Accession number 21109, Reel 7.
Lucky for Mushbeard, wasn't it?
Len Harkin's Reel 7. So, okay. So, you got over the Aston Canal in the end.
Yes.
Yeah. Did that take a while to get across? I mean, it was quite torturous.
No, it was, as far as I can remember, one day. It was only the day there was some bad fighting getting over.
Yeah.
But there again, you're not leading, so you don't see so much of it, do you?
Who would lead the troop then? Would it always be the same tank?
Oh, no.
No.
Different troops would take the lead. You see, you got relieved.
Yeah.
You know, I did my fair share of it, but... I think I did my fair share of it at the wrong time. But mind, I'm saying that. Maybe there's others that... I wasn't there to see what they went through, so maybe they had a rougher time.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Who can know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, after you got over the Aston Bridge, where to then, do you remember?
No.
No. Resting and refitting at Handel, I've got here.
Handel.
St. Antonis and Handel area, Bakel. Leave in Brussels.
I remember going to Brussels.
Yes. What was Brussels like then?
Well, wasn't a lot there. It was a break from action, and then it was a break. If it was a good night's sleep, it was a break from action. Yes, we had, I think, 4 days in Brussels.
Mm. You managed to get a drink in, did
you? Oh, yeah, we had a good drink. No, there was one to Paris, too, but I never got to... Yes, I did go to Paris.
That was on leave, was it?
Yeah.
Was that before the end of the war?
No, I'm not quite sure whether we had 2 days or... 4 days in Brussels. Two or 4 days. In fact, I was saying earlier on, I'm not quite sure whether we went on leave. I had a couple of leaves in Brussels.
Mm. Mm. Did you talk to the local people at all in Brussels? You know, did they talk to you?
Yes, they did. The biggest talk I ever had with those was when we came back from the Ardennes, the people in Brussels. It's a funny thing, I never seemed to talk to a lot of civilians.
Mm.
Mm. I don't know, as far as I can remember, I didn't have time to speak to them.
Mm. I don't think many people did, actually, yeah.
I remember coming back from the Ardennes and we were sleeping out on the road in Brussels.
Mm.
And we made our own way back because we were a composite squadron made up out of a regiment to be left in case Jerry broke through again.
Right.
But there again, I'm going a little before my time again.
Do you remember Major Gilmore?
Yes, Sir John Gilmore. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's a good point-to-point man.
Was he? Mm. Oh, well, he must be right then. Yeah, he was made second in command.
Yes.
Yeah. Had you had much to do with him?
No.
No. Uh-huh. Did you have much to do with the sort of senior officers in the regiment?
No.
You didn't see them or they didn't know who you were or?
No.
No.
If you had the badge on, they knew you were the 5th & 4th.
Right. Mm. So you knew all the sergeants, presumably?
Good many, only in your room. Yes, I knew the RSM.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute now, I've only had him mixed up with Sergeant Major Britton. He was from the Guards, wasn't he?
Mm.
Wait a minute now, I can tell you a tale about him.
Who's that?
The RSM.
Uh-huh. Do you remember his name? Or? Doesn't matter if you can't. They'll know.
Yes.
Tell us the tale anyway.
Well, this boy fiddler was put on a charge. He opened his mouth always at the wrong time. The wrong place and wrong time. And he was put in a charge, so he was given jankers, which was to mount guard behind the guard. And the RSM was orderly officer that night and inspecting the guard and all those on jankers. And he went to fiddler and he prodded him in the back, much like myself, and said, "I'll buy you a fiddle." Do you know what that means? Well, he had long hair, didn't he? Right? "I'll buy you a fiddle. What's your name?" And he said, "Fiddler, sir." And do you know what the RSM said? I can't tell you. But he did go to squadron office the following day.
He thought he was taking the piss. Yeah.
That's quite right. Yeah.
Okay.
And I should remember his name. He's very much like Granger. Granger did a good job. Away, so I could never get on with him very well.
The only Granger?
That was the squadron sergeant major, the RSM regimental. But I admired Granger in many ways. He was a man given a job and he did the job well. He was a smart man. You couldn't take that from him. If he'd been in action, he wouldn't have been alive. I admired him in many ways, but he had a job to do, didn't he? And you can be too soft and advantage taken. You wouldn't take advantage of Granger. But this, you get men to work for you in a better way than being a bully, too.
So Captain Loram was commanding B Squadron at this time.
Loram, don't know him.
No. And there's a story about British and German troops using the same cafe at Meijel, M-E-I-J-E-L.
Meijel, no.
No. Patrols to Boxmere. Does that mean anything?
Boxmere. Patrols. I think that's where I was telling you about that certain roadway.
Right.
We were doing infantry work up there because it was bad weather.
Yeah. So what infantry work were you doing?
Oh, and you just send them out at night, scout him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I can remember one boy, hell of a nice, quiet lad. And, you know, the old hand grenades, pulling the pin so far out. And strapping him to his waist and going up that night, crawling up the hedge, something caught one of the pins, pulled it out and blew into pieces.
Why did they pull the pin halfway out?
Well, you could get it through it quicker. You could get it out and at him quicker. It was a sunken roadway. We were going down there at night and Juddy's coming up there at night.
What did you feel about doing infantry work? I mean, you were attacked.
Well, you give him the job, you do it, and
was there a sort of cachet in being, you know, part of tank crew? You know,
oh yes. Oh yes. I think you, in the infantry, you fend for yourself. On a tank crew, you rely on each one: your operator, your gunner, your tank commander, your co-driver, and your driver.
So there was an attack on Venray?
Venray, yeah, Venray, yeah, Venlo.
Do you remember being there?
Yes. And yet, see, Big Phillips factory at Venlo, or Venray. It's queer when you're driving along the road and all of a sudden you see Phillips, like person. You pass in a shop and you see person. It's funny. You think. A lot of things go through your mind. I'll tell you a tale later on about a personal shop with personal all over it.
and attack on Verlaine, German resistance.
On where?
V-E-U-L-E-N.
Verlaine.
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 Heavy German resistance. C squadron leading under Major Leith.
Don't know him either.
B squadron moved forward in support. A squadron engaging 88 guns. You were in A squadron.
Yes, can't remember a lot about it.
Yeah. You're up against the big guns there.
Yes.
That was sort of late October. And then towards the end of October, A squadron at Idelstein.
Huh?
Firing at America. Spot with a K.
America? Mm. Yes, that's it. I mentioned it.
Yes.
Is it, how was it spelt? All I heard it.
A-M-E-R-I-K-A. Yeah. Must be the original spelling. Yeah, okay.
I knew there was... I thought, where the hell am I when I heard it
what
mentioned?
What did you call it?
America, that's what I heard it.
Right,
and
okay. So, what do you remember about that incident?
It's not much that stings out in my mind when I heard America being mentioned. And I can remember thinking to myself, where the hell are we then? You know, America. And I don't know why that... A lot of those places there, I can't remember.
Mm. I don't think they had nameplates up at the time, did they? I mean, you were working on map references. I mean, you wouldn't have known where you were necessarily.
The only, do you know now, your finger posts are similar to our finger posts. Do you know the only one I can remember? St. Lo.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's the only one I can see, and that was the American.
Yeah.
To St. Lo. I remember that.
This is where, about the time, that they started doing familiarisation training in Cromwell, ready to replace the Shermans.
With the Comet?
Yeah.
Yes, but I thought that was at Helmand.
Yes, it could be. That comes under Helmand as well. Yeah.
Yes.
Which was about December 44.
Yes, yes, quite right.
So you were in Shermans, so
yes.
What did you go on to?
We didn't go on from there. We came back to Ypres to train on the Comet.
Right, okay. So you went into Comets, did you?
Yeah, but then Jerry's broke through in the Ardennes.
Uh-huh.
We had to go back to Brussels, pick up the tank. I can remember the name of the tank. Yeah. I can remember the name of the tank I picked up. SS Hardgraft, and it was bloody Hardgraft.
This was another Sherman?
Yeah, but you picked up anything.
Yeah, why was it hard?
Oh, terrible, the steering. Steering. He wanted 20 miles a turning with it.
What, it was just heavy?
Yeah.
Heavy.
And they weren't like that normally. And the machine gun had been trained on the sponsons. You had extra armour plating. And the machine gun had gone on that. And I tell you what, it had gone through all but that much. It was funny through.
Really?
S.S. Hardgraft. And I said, whoever named this, named it right.
So that some soldier painted that on the side.
Yeah.
So from that was at Ypres, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, Ypres.
You went into billets there, didn't
you? Yes, I was stationed with an old lady.
Yeah.
Oliver came back from England.
Did he? Yeah. Well. Remembered.
And oh, wait a minute now. No, he hadn't come back from England then. Yes. Well, we reached Ypres a yard, but I'm going a little before my time. They always wanted me to fight in the fights, no boxing.
Yeah.
Oh, this Oliver was with me that night. Now, how did this come about? That was the after the Ardennes, when I came back from the Ardennes. Mm-hmm. We got to go to the Ardennes first and come back.
Yeah.
We went back to Ypres.
Right, so you stayed in a billet in Brussels.
Yes.
With an old lady?
Mm-hmm. In Ypres.
Right, in Ypres, yeah, okay.
With an old lady, Geordie McReiner, another old chap, shouldn't be in tanks. Geordie McReiner, he had 2,000 balls on his back. And he said to me, what do you think? And he shouldn't have been. Oh, terrible. His back was all boils, and I mean all boils.
Yeah, that was a nervous state he was in.
I don't know.
Or run down.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Run down, but believe me, in terrible state. Mm. I said, oh, bloody sick man.
Yeah.
He said, you don't think I'm a coward? I said, no. Mm. I said, oh, terrible. His back was full of boils. And the old lady, marvellous old woman, I used to get drunk now and again. And she had us, we had to be in by a certain time. I said, no, I can't do that. I said, I'll sleep out on the road. No, she said, you won't sleep on the road. She said, I'll leave the door open with you. All right. So I used to come, before she said this, I used to come, and it was always after 10 o'clock. It would be 1 o'clock in the morning, and we'd have a thing to pull, like going into an old bloody castle or something. It was pull this thing, and many a night, and then she'd come down and she'd lay the law down to me. I said, don't worry. So the first night, and I forgot, she said she'd leave the door, and I go back and I'm ringing the bell. See, where the bloody hell is she? But an hour later, the light went on in the hall. Door was open all the time. She cried her eyes out when she left. When we left,
you were there for a little while, were you?
Yes. Yeah. We went to a boxing match. Actually, this is after we came back from the Ardennes, right. But I'll tell you this story.
Okay.
Oliver was a great boy, and when he had drink, he was trouble. He'd want to fight, and that's, you don't fight when you're drunk. You want to be sober. And I'd arranged to meet him somewhere in Field. I was going with a girl from the cafe. There was about 20 stationed in this cafe, and she was a smart girl. Played in the band. And of course, I couldn't get bloody stationed in the cafe. I was stationed with this old lady, wasn't I? I'd arranged to meet him. I failed to turn up. Why? It was not women, nothing like that. It was something I had to do, and well, I turned up and I met him in this cafe. And there weren't many in it, but she was playing in the band, this girl. And he was leaning on the bar, and I could see that he dropped a drink. And I went in and leaned on the bar with him. And he said something to me. And I wasn't expecting it, and all of a sudden, bang, and he hit me. And I went away into the band, right, on my back. So I got up and walked back. He said, aren't you going to belt me back? I said, I wouldn't need to hit you, I could bloody blow you over. And the first thing he turned around, he said, anybody else in this bar laying him, I'll bloody kill him. And 2 minutes before, he belted me. That was Oliver.
Oliver and the drink.
Mm.
Right. So from your billet at Ypres, I mean, that old lady at Ypres, she must have remembered the first war, wasn't she?
She was a good age. I would say she's a woman between 60 and 70, yeah. Then.
So she'd remembered the first war. And
yes.
Then,
and my father was at Clotholdo, was in Ypres. That's where they crucified a Scotchman in the First World War.
Mm.
Nailed him to the door. I heard my father, and I mounted guard at the Menin Gate at Ypres, and that's my proudest moment in the army, the big square. And we weren't, right. I was stationed not very far.
Yeah. So the 5th and 4th took a turn mounting the guard at the gate, didn't they?
Yes, mm. Yeah.
So then, but, carry on.
So I'll finish the story now, so... But I'd come back from the Ardennes when I met Oliver. Somebody said, because I was left after the others in yard ends. And they said, there's somebody waiting for you, so-and-so. And it was Oliver. And there was a boxing match, a Belgian fighting, a chap in the signals by the name of Willie Pep. Funny thing, a gentleman spoke to me the other day that remembered the name. I didn't know him from Adam. And he said, we had a lot of money riding on you. And we were at this boxing match, Oliver and I. And the Sergeant Major Granger was always on foot to meet a fighting boy in the fight by the name of Jimmy Black. Good boxer by all account. Jim was all right. Jim said, I'll fight you any time. But he said, if you want to get up and knock out to each other just for the host of a laugh, any time you like. And I said, forget about it, Jim. You won't bother. So we're at this boxing match and all of it, we saw these. No, it was terrible. And after the fight, Oliver said to me, he said, you could see those buggers off him. I said, aye. And something came up. I said, aye, they're both on the same time. And somebody tapped me on the shoulder. He said, Arkins, I'll take you at your word. And that was Granger saying, which one do you want to fight? I said, bloody both of them. So I didn't do no training on the Comets in Ypres, but I'd had a fair bit of training on the old Covenanters, Crusaders was the same. I had done a little with the Cromwell, but I trained to fight. There was an officer, he always looking in at. I trained in an old school. I didn't need to train to beat these. I didn't. I could have been to beaten those. I could have been 75 years of age and beat them. I never saw anything so disgusting all my life. I didn't want to box anymore. I knew I had a deaf hand. I could beat those with two deaf hands. I had a good time. I used to go running with Howells on a bike at Ypres. I'd get outside Ypres and I used to say, Howells, you run, I'm on the bike. I knew it was on a man's. The last meeting in Reading, Fiddle come on to me, he said, there's a bloke over there. He said, got a photo of you cutting Hughie Howells' his hair, and he said, he knows you. I said, well, I haven't got a clue who he is. And a sparring partner was out of the same crew, Rocky, hard man. Yeah. And he was my sparring partner for that fight.
So you kept yourself fit quite consciously all the time?
Oh, I didn't have to be fit to. If they'd have put a good man in, yeah, I'd have said, no, forget about it. But these, they were rubbish.
So you fought them both?
No.
No.
Jerry's broke. Oh, sorry, I got it wrong. Jerry's broke through in the Ardennes. Yes, to pick up SS Hardgraft.
Okay.
And then to go to the Ardennes with an officer by the name of Samson.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
That's when I stood back and shot the bucket of whitewash over the tank. Mm. And I went to get up, and so did he at the same time. And looks, he could bloody kill me, I'm sure. Then, I think it was Hot Black come along and that, up on Chapel Hill, and he said, there's things that stick out in your mind, isn't there? And I think it was Hot Black said, I got a good job here, Arkins. I said, I've had good jobs before, what are these? He said, you do no piece for the 5-5s. No, I hadn't done it before. I had a young artillery officer. Chapel Hill, this is where the officer was going to shoot the boy. And I'm trying to think of the kid's name. Up on Chapel Hill, there was a lot of snow about now and
forgive me, this is Chapel Hill.
In the Ardennes.
Yes. Right. So, can you give me some idea of where you went into the Ardennes or what you saw?
Yes,
you
went
or who was ahead of you? You know?
Went down to Namur first. Cross the bridge, which they say there was a lot of Germans coming across in American uniforms. There was a lot of people about, I can tell you that much. We went on, I thought Jerry was half a mile down the road. We went on 20 miles before we met Jerry. every place and the Yanks were there with anti-aircraft gun turned down as anti-tank guns. As soon as they saw us, they gave us plenty of fags and the wheels went up on the things and they were up, pitched on and gone. And we went on and on and on until we got to Chapel Hill, overlooking Burr, a little village down in the bottom Burr. We were up on the top overlooking this open space here. There was forestry there. Mm-hmm. And a ride in the forest. You know what a ride is?
Yeah.
Where they bring timber to? Yeah. Well, yes, you are the country.
Mm-hmm.
And at the top of that ride was a chapel. And in that chapel was a German tank with a gun through the window. So the regiment now is all on the bottom of this wood. And, of course, they hadn't come to the cross with the cross of the ride, but the wood carried on after that. All the regiment there, well, the squadron was there, I know that. All of a sudden, I got this officer was telling me to go up through here. We had way out here now in the open, wide open. And then all of a sudden, a 17-pounder passed me, and I thought, this boy, I don't know what he's on. So I picked up the intercom, I said, ever been in action before? He said, no. I said, ever been in a tank before? He said, no. I said, well, I have. And I said, I've had a bugger blown up from under me too, right? And I said, we are in trouble. And I said, but that 17-pounder. I said, do you know what that means? No, he said. I said, well, there's a tank up there that a 75 can knock out, and they're sending that Charlie tank up for. And with that, all of a sudden, up goes the 17-pounder. And we're about 25, 30 yards back from it. And I told you it was SS Hardgraft, didn't I? I looked around for instructions. He'd bailed out. But I counted the four boys jump in from the tank. And I thought, it's time for me to motor it all out like this. And with this, it was hard, mate. Hard back, but it took me a long turn round. And on the way down, this officer was there waving for me to stop. I passed him until I got down onto a certain road. Pulled down, there were some buildings. Whether there was a house there or not, I don't know, an infantry and Bremen carriers there. And I pulled down in there, and the first thing he said to me, when you stop, I said, you didn't stop to think of us when you bailed out and left us, did you?
And that was Samson.
No, I'd left Sampton there.
Right.
Thank God I was out of his crew.
Yeah. So who was the officer?
I don't know, a artillery officer.
Okay.
He wasn't a Fifes officer.
Right, okay.
Artillery officer and a young lad.
Right.
And I see three boys now running down to these buildings. I said, where's the other? He said, we don't know. I said, I counted four bailouts. I said, I saw the four of you, and you bailed out this side, all of you. Well, this one had bailed out. And the shot had hit him in the legs first before it went into the tank. As he was jumping off, it hit him in the legs. He went round the corner. And in the snow, you could see hands like this. Snow and fur. There was a stretcher on the carriers. And I said to the infantry boys with his officers or what, I said, who's coming with me to get him? Not one. So the regiment now was across under the wood. Mm-hmm. I don't know, 100, 150 yards away. I shouted across. I said, anybody come with me to pick him up? I was making signs. Mm. And Huey Howells and somebody else come across. And as we went up there, Jerry started, they captured a lot of big Americans' artillery guns, and they started shelling. And when we got up, no, this is another one. When we got up, they picked his shoulders up and put him onto the stretcher. I picked his feet up to get him on. His feet went on, but the rest of his legs stayed there. I didn't know he'd been hit in the legs. It was like rotten sack. His legs were mashed. I rolled him on, and he started to land close behind us. And I said, boys, as fast as you can go. We went down that. I was behind, two in front. and shoving them.
Len Harkins, end of reel 7.